This verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6, verse 254. This was written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya after he understood the transcendental position and identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As was the fashion 500 years ago, he wrote this verse on a leaf from a palm tree, because I didn't have so much paper. And then he handed this verse to Mukunda Das. He said, please, show these two verses. He wrote two verses. He said, please give these to Lord Chaitanya for his pleasure. And Mukunda Das, being a devotee and being completely surrendered to Mahaprabhu, he knew what Mahaprabhu's mood would be. So he went outside the kutir and he wrote on the wall, because the walls have mud, clay and mud, very easy. So he wrote these verses on the wall of the kutir. This is in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, when the devotees were with Mahaprabhu. So he wrote these two verses on the wall. And then he handed that palm leaf to Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya read those verses, he went, ah! And he ripped them up and threw them down. So it says that Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in regard to these two verses, he says that in a few texts on, he said, Edui shloka bhakta kante ratnahar sarvabhauma kirti goshe daka vadyakar. These two verses written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will always declare his name and fame as loudly as a pounding drum, for they have become pearl necklaces around the necks of all the devotees. So they're pearl necklaces. Ratnahara. Bhakta Kante Ratnahara. So these verses, this one and the next verse, famous verses, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. This is famous verses. Prabhupada spoke so many times and all the acharyas. So this, if you want to memorize a verse, two verses which are very important, this is one of them. So we'll repeat this one. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartameka Purusha Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Prabhadye. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartameka Purusha Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Prabhadye. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartameka Purusha Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Prabhadye. Detachment from everything that does not help develop Krishna consciousness. Vidya, knowledge. Nija, own. Bhakti yoga, devotional service. Shiksha artam, to instruct. Eka, single person. Purusha, supreme person. Purana, very old. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sharira Dhari, accepting the body. Kripambudi, ocean of transcendental mercy. Ya, who, tam, him, aham, I, prapadye, surrender. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who has descended in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. That's the first verse that he wrote on the palm leaf, and the second verse, Kalanashtam Bhakti Yogam Nijam Ya Pradushkartam Krishna Chaitanya Nama Abhirbhutas Tasya Padara Vinde Garam Garam Liyatam Chitta Bringa. Let my consciousness, which is like a bringa, like a honeybee, take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service unto himself. This system has almost been lost due to the influence of time. Gadam gadam liyatam chitta bringa. On this most auspicious day, 500 and some years ago, the elder brother of Nimai Pandit, known as Vishwarup, he took sannyas, and Lochandas Thakur describes that pastime of the Mahotsav, the taking of sannyas. It was a great festival for Vishwarup. It was a great festival of vilap for Sachimata. It was a great festival of lamentation to lose her son. Damodar Pandit asked Murari Gupta, "Where has Vishwarup, Nimai's elder brother, gone?" Murari replied, "Listen to me, Pandit Damodar. I will tell you whatever I know. Vishwambar, the abode of good qualities, sometimes Vishwarup is also called Vishwambar. This is actually Vishwarup, the elder brother. The abode of good qualities quickly learned all the scriptures. He's expert in all brahminical duties. He affectionately serves his parents. He is fully conversant with Vedanta, the essence of all religion. He does nothing but devotional service to Vishnu. He's dear to everyone. He has achieved all perfections. Yet within his heart, he always remains completely detached and fixed in the absolute truth. Vishwarup, the son of Jagannath Mishra, held the Shastras in his left hand and discussed Krishna Katha with his classmates. One day while walking home, Jagannath Mishra saw his son Vishwarup and he had an idea. The father had an idea. Now my young, beautiful son is 18 years old and ready for marriage. I should make arrangements for Vishwarup's marriage. Sound familiar? Any young men out there in the audience? Sounds familiar? Your mother and father are making arrangements for your marriage. Noticing his father's meditative mood, Vishwarup thought, "It seems my father is thinking about my marriage, but I should not get married. Of course, this might upset my mother." Then, the next day at the crack of dawn, Vishwarup held onto his manuscripts and he left home forever. Jai Harivo! Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So, he swam across the Ganges and took sannyas. At midday, there was still no sign of Vishwarup. Jagannath and Sachi Devi searched every single house in Navadvip. "Hey, Mere Suta Kahan. My son, where's my son? Have you seen my son?" They come to the temple. There's a nice story in this connection. In the 1920s in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati was sending his sannyasis all over the city and all over Bengal. They're preaching like anything. They were like his mridangas. They were his big mridangas out there, preaching the message, pounding out the message of Lord Chaitanya. And every day so many young people are joining from college, from IIT, from Scottish Teachers College, from all over the place. Very educated, good people were joining. And then the mothers and fathers would get the police constable. But first they would come themselves. They would come to the temple. And then Bhakti Sananda told all his brahmacharis, if so-and-so's mother and father come, you just say you don't know where he is, and you better go see my Gurudev. So then the parents would come, and all the brahmacharis, the only brahmacharis in the temple, oh, Mrs. Chatterjee, Mrs. Banerjee, Mrs. Bhattacharya, etc. We don't know, we haven't seen your son, we don't know anything about him. Maybe you see our Gurudev upstairs. So Mrs. Banerjee would walk upstairs. She goes upstairs. Oh, Gurudev. Jai Gurudev. Where's my son? Mere Suta Kotai. Mere Choti Banerjee Kotai. Where's my little Banerjee? Where's my little, Banerjee Wala? And then, so what Bhakti Sananta did, he had an expert plan. He would take the little Banerjee, this brahmachari, he would keep him under his bed. He'd keep him under his bed and he said, you stay there and don't say anything, no matter what. So the brahmachari would be under there, Bhakta Banerjee, not initiated yet. And his parents would come and say, oh, Swamiji, pranams, dandavats. Yes, namaste. Have you seen our son, Mr. So-and-so, so-and-so? Who? Never heard of him. Never saw him. No, but our neighbors said that he's living here. They saw him passing here with the Sankirtan party coming and going from this building. You sure? I swear, on Bhagavad Gita, I never saw him. I don't know anything about him. Then the mother starts crying, oh, Swamiji, my son, I only have 10 sons. I only have 10 sons, how can you take my son? And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, our Param Guru, he's completely dhira, he's completely sober. I'm very sorry, I will pray to Krishna on your behalf. And you hold, please, have a good day. And then they would leave. Then Mr. and Mrs. Banerjee would go home and they'd be thinking, everyone's saying my son is there, but everyone inside the place says he's not there. Gurudev says he's not, Swamiji says he's not inside there, and all the inmates say he's not there. What to do? I think someone's lying. Mr. Banerjee says, I think someone's lying over there. Let's get the police wala. So they get the police wala, constable wala. So they feel the policemen go over there alone, private mission. So they go to the brahmacharis, hey brahmacharis, have you seen so-and-so Banerjee? No, I haven't seen him, see Gurudev. So they go up and they're very respectful in front of Bhakti Siddhanta. He's like a big lion, he's so straight, so powerful. And he's, oh Swamiji, excuse me. What? What do you want? Swamiji, just 1 minute, please. Because he had a very deep voice. And the policemen are naturally afraid because they don't want to do anybody's business anyway. They just want to save themselves. So they're afraid that this big yogi, this big sannyasi might curse them. Because they're very superstitious in Bengal. They're afraid of, he's a powerful yogi sitting. What do you want?
Swamiji, have you seen a little boy, Banerjee?
Of course, I haven't seen him. What are you talking about? Chalo!
Oh, yes, Swamiji.
And then the policeman would run down the stairs and run out. And they would report back to the family, we haven't seen him, we don't know where he is. So like this, Bhakti Siddhanta, he was catching so many young men in the 1920s for his mission. And Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, all these young men he was catching. Very interesting technique. And then what would happen is, when the mother was crying out in the front of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the son is under the bed saying, oh, my mother's crying, oh. And then after the parents would leave, the son would come out from under the bed and he would say, Swamiji, Gurudev, my mother's crying. Then he would preach to them. He said, listen, that crying, that is the crying of Maya. That is Maya crying. After so many births, Jaya Radhaparta Sarthi, after so many births, you have a chance to enter the service of Radha and Krishna and get liberation from this birth and death. But you're worried. Your mother's crying is a crying of Maya. Forget about it. Just surrender to Krishna. Just forget about that crying. He was very fierce. And he said, oh, okay, Swamiji. And then you go down with the brahmacharis and cry on their shoulders. So Vishwarup, he didn't want anything to do with that, so he packed his bags and left home. So what's being told here, Jagannath and Sachidevi were searching every house. They went to every ISKCON temple, every Gaudiya Math. Hey, where's our son? Where's our son? So that's why I'm telling the story. But they couldn't find their son anywhere. The neighbors started whispering among themselves, hey, I think their son took sannyas. Yeah, Vishwaroop took sannyas. I heard about it. I think he did. They're whispering like this. When Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi heard this, they both fainted unconscious on the ground. The three worlds appeared full of darkness to them. Sachi Devi cried out, "Oh, my son, Vishwaroop, come home. I want to see you. Why did you leave everything? How will your beautiful, delicate body and your tender feet tolerate the hardship of walking so far and wide? You can't tolerate even the slightest pain for even a moment. To whom will you present your insistent demands?" Like a child is always saying, "Mother, give me this, mother, give me this, mother, wash my clothes, mother, feed me, mother." Oh, that means insistent. Repeating, who will tolerate your insistent demands? When you were studying, you could never concentrate on your lessons. So how will you concentrate on your sannyas? That's what she's saying. "I can't go anywhere without thinking of you. When I take a bath, my mind is disturbed with the thought that you may return at any time. And when I hear you calling, Mother, I forget everything else. For that sound, the sound of your sweet voice, is my greatest treasure. Seeing your sweet face, I no longer think of myself. I don't know what kind of suffering has caused you to neglect me and accept sannyas. Oh, my husband, go search for Vishwaroop and bring him back to me. Let the people say whatever they want, but bring back my son again. I shall perform his sacred thread ceremony." You sound like your mother? Where's my son? Trying to pacify his bereaved wife, Jagannath Mishra said, "Please listen, Sachi Devi. Don't lament. The whole material existence is false, like a dream. Your son Vishwaroop is a great personality. By accepting sannyas at such an early age, he will bring fortune to our family. Please bless him so he can remain fixed in his sannyas vow and progress steadily on the path of devotional service. Don't lament for his welfare. If a member of our family takes sannyas, he benefits many generations of that family. So our son has done a wonderful thing." Murari goes on to tell the story. Damodar, in this way, Jagannath and Sachi Devi consoled each other. Thus concludes the story of Vishwaroop sannyas. Lochandas says, at that time, Nimai was sitting on his Sachimata's lap and gazing at his father's face. So the mother and father were sitting there, and Nimai, Vishwambar, was sitting on Sachi's lap, and he was looking up at his father's face. And he said, "Father, it doesn't matter where my brother Vishwaroop has gone. Don't worry, I will look after you." On hearing this, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi lovingly embraced Nimai and forgot all their miseries. So you can see that Ochandas Thakur, his writing describing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, was full of ras. This is considered a rasa shastra, Mahaprabhu's rasa shastra. So in this verse we have Nija Bhakti Yogam. This is one of the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Vairagya Vidya. So this is actually the meaning of knowledge. Knowledge should bring us to the platform, jnana, or knowledge, should bring us to the platform of detachment from the body. Real knowledge means to understand, I'm not this body, aham brahmasmi. So the purpose of Vedic culture, the purpose of Indian culture, the whole purpose of the civilization, it is a civilization of detachment. Now the whole purpose of modern education, so-called Gyan, is to attach you to the body, attach you to the country, and attach you to your family. Everything they're teaching you simply attaches you more and more. So the modern civilization, they're simply giving knowledge, it's a civilization of attachment. The land of America and Europe and India, they're just teaching people how to be more and more attached to their body. But this is not Vairagya. This is Rag. This is Ragya. But Vairagya means detachment. And this is actually devotional life. The life of a devotee means a life of detachment, a life of renunciation. If you want to measure how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness, you can measure it in how much you're becoming detached from sense enjoyment. how much you're becoming detached from sense enjoyment. This is vairagya, detachment. But it isn't that we have to work, make a separate endeavor for detachment. What we do is try to attach ourselves to Krishna. These two qualities are connected. You can't have one without the other. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam. So this bhakti yogam, by bhakti yoga, what happens by practicing bhakti yoga, you're engaging in activities, you're serving Krishna. And by serving Krishna, chanting about his glories, reading about his glories, serving him, you're becoming attached to him. And by becoming attached to him, you experience a better position. As you increase your attachment for Krishna, you experience a better type of happiness, a better position, a better type of gratification, a better type of pleasure. And that's called Param Jasva Nivartate. Rasuham. This is rasa. Rasa is there, the word rasa. So you get some taste from performing bhakti, then you can give up this attachment for the material world. So this is how we measure. If someone, Prabhupada once said, if someone comes as a devotee, comes in the cover of a bhakta, but he's working for Krishna with material motives, that is not bhakti. That is not bhakti. So bhakti is such a entity that performance, that activity, when it's done to please Krishna and to please Guru for their satisfaction, that is bhakti. And bhakti produces attachment. To whom? To Krishna. And this verse says, Sri Krishna Chaitanyam, what does it say? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. So it says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. Dara means to hold or to take on. So this same principle of detachment was taught 5,000 years ago. This is what Krishna also came to teach in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharman Prityaja. The word Prityaja, Prityaja means detachment. Prityaja means vairagya. It's the same. So Krishna said, be detached. He said, Aham Sarva. He said, you surrender to me, be attached to me, and give up all these dharmas. But unfortunately, people become attached to so many dharmas. Samsara dharma, Raja dharma, Grihastha dharma, Samajika dharma. It's called Samajika. All these dharmas. Grihastha dharma, Samsara dharma. But Krishna says, give these up. Sarva dharma and parityaja, vairagya. Be detached from all these dharmas and be attached to me. Surrender to me. But people weren't so much taking up Krishna's instruction of becoming detached. So 5,000 years went by, then 4,000, then 3,000, then 2,000, and then so many thousands of years went by, and people were becoming not detached, but more and more attached. I'm American, I'm German, I'm Japanese, let's fight. I'm Indian, I'm Naxalite, I'm communist, I'm this, that. So much fighting. So then Krishna thought, I must go myself and personally teach detachment. I must go myself and personally teach detachment. So Krishna, Sri Krishna came Chaitanya Dhari. He took on the form of Lord Chaitanya. He took on the form of Lord Chaitanya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri, he realized this, and he recognized that Krishna has come, Sri Krishna has come as Chaitanya Dhari. Sharira Dhari. Krishna has taken the sharir, the body of Lord Chaitanya. For what? Shikshartam. He's come as a Shiksha Guru. Right? The word is there. So Krishna has come, he's taken the body of a teacher, a sannyasi. A teacher. A sannyasi is a teacher. A Brahmin is a teacher. Krishna appeared in a Brahmana family as Lord Chaitanya. But as Krishna appeared in a Vaishya family. But when he came as Lord Chaitanya, he came for teaching. So he appeared in a Brahmin's family, Mishra. His name was Nimai Pandit, or Vishwambara Mishra. So he started teaching from day one. Sanskrit, Naya, logic. He had his own school. And then he went from teaching the Vidya to teaching Paravidya. From teaching Vidya to Paravidya. Because he took sannyas and started to teach Veda, Vedanta. Vedanta, Vid, Vedakrit, Eva, Chahun. What is the Veda? What is the Vedanta? What did he teach? Bhakti Yogam. This is what he taught. By his own example, Lord Chaitanya practiced Bhakti Yoga and he taught others. So, This is the actual essence of Krishna consciousness, is Vairagya. This is a movement. The Krishna Prabhupada often says, he often uses these terms, the Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of detachment. We are to learn how to become detached from family, detached from this body, and attached to Krishna. So the more we perform devotional service, if it really is devotional service, if it is really bhakti, then we will automatically become detached from this body. After some time, not much time. So this, if someone sees that they've been performing devotional service for 5 years or 10 years and are becoming more attached to the body or to family or to nation or to sense enjoyment, then they're not practicing bhakti correctly. This is a problem. So this is it. Our whole movement, as we say, the purpose of ISKCON is to create a society of brahmanas. Now brahmanas have power. Their power, or their wealth, their tejas, the Brahman tejas is tapasya. Prabhupada said that the wealth of the brahmanas is austerity. That is their wealth. With their wealth of austerity, they can attract. Because there are six opulences, sadaishvarya purna. Aishvaryasya samagrasya, viryasya yasashashriya. It says there are six qualities or characteristics. If someone has one of those, he becomes attractive. Karshan, Sundara Karshan. Beauty attracts. Every man is attracted to a beautiful woman. What is he attracted to? Her beauty. And every woman is attracted to a beautiful, handsome man. So Sundara Roop. So that's attractive. So Tyag or Vairagi is very attractive. Sometimes someone's given the name Vairagi Baba. And people become attracted. Oh, he only eats one chickpea a day. He sleeps 2 hours a day. He stands on one leg all day and night. So people are attracted and they give so much money there. They go to see and to touch his feet and get some kripa. So this is one of the opulences, Vairagya. So we are supposed to be Vairagis. This is, Bhakti Yoga means Vairagya. And it's not that, oh no, that's only for sannyasis. No, this is Bhakti Yoga. This is what the grihasthas, Prabhupada gave the term that grihasthas should be sannyasis also. He called them, brahmacharya grihasthas or something. Because they're controlling their senses. So brahmacharya is the same vow that the sannyasis take. Sannyasis are brahmacharya, following brahmacharya. So Prabhupada wanted the grihasthas to also follow brahmacharya. So what do you have? You have brahmacharya ashram, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. That means in all four ashramas, renunciation is the key point, vairagya. But in grihastha ashram, there's a small license for a little bit of sense gratification. But still, the theme, the overall theme and the overall conception and meditation and idea in the grihastha ashram is detachment, is vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. If there's no vairagya, there's no knowledge. You have to be detached. And bhakti, of course, gives everything, because bhakti, Bhakti Devi has two sons. One son is Vairagya and the other son is knowledge. Vairagya and Vidya are the two sons of Bhakti Devi. So if you have bhakti, you will have knowledge. You'll have transcendental knowledge. So the more we try to serve Krishna, he illuminates. He illuminates our heart with knowledge and this detachment from the body. We don't have to artificially endeavor, because we see that the jnanis or the yogis, they work very, very hard. And they study intensely the Vedanta Sutras and the four Vedas. They study very intensely with great concentration and great self-imposed renunciation so that they can attain something. Because they want to get something. They want to realize Brahman or they want to get mystic cities. But it says that the devotees, they simply want to serve Krishna. It's explained that the devotee is bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta. The Krishna Bhakta only, certainly, Ata Eva Shanta. He, Krishna Bhakta, is Nishkam. He has no desire. He doesn't want to attain Brahman. He doesn't want to become a powerful yogi. He doesn't want mystic cities. He's Nishkam. He has no desire only to please Krishna. So he can, Ata Eva, only he is Shanti. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. When you meet the yogis, they always say, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. But their minds and their lives are spinning with great desire. I must attain this power. I must get tantric powers. I must get mystic powers. I must become big. I must become famous. I must rise to the top. I must... So they have so much desire. Mukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna's Kaviraj says sakale sab ashanti. They are all of them. All of them they're not peaceful. They have no peace. Whether you want material enjoyment, a bhukti, a bogi, bhukti mukti, whether you want liberation or you want siddhi, siddhi kami. You want mystic cities, anima siddhi, prapti siddhi, lagami siddhi, siddhi. So the devotee is peaceful. He simply engages in Krishna's service. So of course today is the day Prabhupada took sannyas, and we have to adjust everything a little bit here and there. So Prabhupada's janam name was Abhay. Abhay means fearless. And then his diksha nam was Abhay Charanaravindam, which means one who is serving the fearless lotus feet of the Lord. But we see a very nice pastime of Prabhupada taking sannyas, or his activity of taking sannyas, and he describes it himself in 1968 in Seattle, when he wrote one card. He had a celebration of this day, and he was describing his sannyas ceremony to his disciples. And he said, Prabhupada said, when I was a young boy, I was very stubborn, and I didn't like to take medicine. My mother, when I had some sickness, my mother wanted to give me medicine, a spoon of medicine. I said, no, I don't want. She said, no, it's candy, it's very sweet. And I was very reluctant to take. I'm very stubborn to take the medicine. So in the same way, as I became older and it was time to take sannyas, I was very fearful. Prabhupada used this word, I was very fearful. Now Prabhupada's janam name is Abhay, which means fearless, and his diksha name is Abhay Charanaravindam Das, which means servant of the fearless lotus feet. But now we find Prabhupada, when he's 62 years old, he's saying, I was fearless. I mean, I was full of fear. I was thinking, how horrible to leave my family, my wife, how can I leave them? So Prabhupada said, I was afraid to take the medicine. I was afraid to take the medicine. But then my godbrother came. His Holiness Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj. He came and he forced me to take the medicine. He forced me to take the medicine of Vairagya, renunciation. And I'm so grateful to him. I am so grateful to him that he forced me to take that medicine, although I was afraid to do it. So Prabhupada, by this activity of his taking sannyas, he's showing us, it's not that Prabhupada's afraid, because from day one he's fearless. Holding Rath Yatra, going and preaching, traveling on trains everywhere. He was never afraid. But he's showing us that he's playing the role of a conditioned soul, of a conditioned grihastha. Because we are afraid. So when we read that, Prabhupada was afraid? I know I'm afraid. I'm very afraid to take that medicine of taking sannyas. And Prabhupada said it's horrible to leave my family and my sweet little children. I think it's also horrible. So Prabhupada is playing a role, just like Arjuna pretended to be bewildered. But Arjuna is Krishna's Parishad. He cannot be bewildered. But he played the role of a bewildered, muyanti, conditioned soul, for our benefit. So teaching could be exchanged for our benefit. So Prabhupada, he played this activity of being fearful because we're afraid to give up this body. We're afraid to take sannyas. We're afraid to give up this family. So then Prabhupada said that, so I took sannyas from Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, and that is why we offer obeisances to the Vaishnava, Vancha Kapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu, that the Vaishnava, he's a Kripa Sindhu, he's an ocean of mercy. So the same thing is mentioned here by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sees Kripambudir. He says, Krishna has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya, Kripambudir yastam aham prapadye. So Sarvabhauma, he's offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya at his lotus feet. I surrender to you, prapadye, yeyetamam prapadyante, tam sachaiva bhajamyaham. I surrender to your lotus feet, Lord Chaitanya. You're a kripa ambudi. And we say anandam budi vardhanam. We sing Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, Baba Mahag. So ananda, ambudi. Ambudi means ocean. And ananda means an ocean of bliss. So the Lord Chaitanya, as this ideal sannyasi and shiksha guru, shikshartam, he came to teach by his example how to be detached and how to be attached to Krishna and automatically give up this world. So Sarvabhauma is saying, you are an ocean of mercy because you've taught me how to become detached from family. So Prabhupada used the same idea when he was glorifying his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj. He said, Kripa Sindhu, he is a Kripa Sindhu. I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative and so thankful to Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj because he made me drink the medicine of renunciation, the bitter medicine of renunciation. So I offer, he is a Vaishnava, and therefore he is an ocean of mercy, so kind. So this is our duty, is to progress on the path of detachment, and to, of course, automatically detachment comes to us when we increase our service to Krishna and increase our attachment to Krishna. This is the whole philosophy of Bhakti Yoga. That in order to come to this point of giving up this body, giving up this world, giving up this family, we must become totally attached to Krishna. But that's not easy. We approach Krishna for material things. We want degrees, we want money, we want position, we want him to fix up our family problems, fix up our wife, fix up our husband. So Krishna, he gives those things easily. He gives easily those things. But what we want to attain prema, pure love for Krishna, Krishna is very careful about giving that. Because if he gives that bhakti, it says bhakti yoga, nija bhakti, nija bhakti yogam, nija means his own. If he gives his own bhakti, that means his love. If we approach him and we satisfy him in such a way that Krishna gives us his love, that means he becomes purchased by us. We can purchase Krishna. It's explained that Krishna, Prabhupada uses this phrase, Krishna becomes a tool in the hand of the pure devotee. He becomes a tool like a screwdriver. He becomes a tool in the hand of the devotee. And one part in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that Krishna becomes like a toy doll. Krishna becomes like a toy doll in the hands of his prema bhaktas. Like a doll, like you have a doll with strings and you move the strings and it goes like a mannequin or a doll. Krishna becomes like a toy doll in the hands of his pure devotees. So he's very reluctant to do that. But he becomes purchased by pure love. When we see that our bhakti is pure, when we're trying to serve him and please him only for his pleasure, without any ulterior motive, without any calculation, without any desire for ourselves, then he gives himself. And actually, the greatest devotee of the Lord, the greatest servant of the Lord, is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, she has purchased Krishna. Krishna is in her hand. She's controlling Krishna. That's her 25th quality. That she fully controls Krishna. How? By her love. So she is the supreme power. Prabhupada uses this phrase. Prabhupada says, she is so powerful. 1968, he's giving a lecture. He says, Srimati Radharani has purchased the supreme personality of Godhead. She has purchased him by her pure love. And she's so powerful. However, if she sees that a devotee is trying to serve Krishna and trying to please him, then Radharani will be favorable to him. And Prabhupada went on to say, that is why devotees in Vrindavan, they take shelter of Radharani. They take shelter of Radharani and say, oh, Srimati Radharani, please be merciful to me. Please be, give your kripambudhi. You're an ocean of mercy. You're kripamayi. You're kripambudhi. Please be merciful unto me. And Prabhupada said, if Radharani is merciful to you, she will tell Krishna, Krishna, oh Shyam, please accept this devotee. Please accept this devotee. He's trying to serve you. She's trying to serve you very nicely with great surrender and great austerity and great detachment and great determination and enthusiasm. Please accept this devotee. And then if Radharani recommends you, if you are recommended by Radharani, definitely Krishna will purchase you. Krishna will be bought by you. You can buy Krishna if Radharani acts as your agent, commission agent. But she doesn't take any commission. She acts as your agent. If she sees, oh, you want to serve my Lord in the same mood that I want to serve, that I am serving him in, that is the mood of Vrindavan. It's the mood of Radharani. It is a pure mood of selfless service without calculation, without computation. Well, if I do this and this and this, what will you give me? Well, if you do life membership, you get 10%. You're only giving 10%. If I go to this temple, I get 11.5%. of my collections. I'm going to this other temple, I can get 11.5% of my collections. Let Krishna be happy. Whatever I have, let it be for Krishna. So this is Vairagya, giving everything we have for Krishna. This is real Vairagya. So this is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is the perfection of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, if performed properly, should create more and more detachment. Sometimes new devotees come, a new bhakta comes, and he reads about Raghunath Das Goswami's austerity, and he thinks, oh yes, I must be detached. I'm going to set my alarm clock for 12:30 at midnight. I'm taking rest at 9, I'm only going to sleep 3.5 hours. And the alarm clock goes up, and everybody in the ashram wakes up, what? What's going on? And the brahmachari ashram, and Bhakta Joe, he jumps up and he goes to the bathroom, he takes a shower, and he starts to walk, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, who's this guy? And all the brahmacharis are woken up in the ashram, and he's trying to be Raghunath Das Goswami in the first day, or the second day. And then he goes to prasadam, they serve out the prasadam, and he says, one chickpea. And everybody looks at him, are you crazy? And he takes one chickpea. Everybody says, oh, look at Bhakta Joe. Bhakta Joe is really austere. He must be a great yogi from his last life. And some of the senior devotees say, all right, wait a couple hours. Let's see what Bhakta Joe's doing. So then about 2 hours later, all the devotees are serving and distributing books, going on Harinam, washing the temple floor, cutting vegetables in the kitchen. And someone said, where's Bhakta Joe? Maybe he can come to the kitchen and do some service. Bhakta Joe is underneath some old blanket somewhere. He's sleeping underneath some rasai. Sleeping all day. So-called Bhakta Joe and his big tapasya program. So Rome wasn't built in a day. Gradually, slowly, slowly, we become more and more detached. But our exemplars of detachment are there. The Sad Goswamis, they are our exemplars. They are our teachers. They are our paragons of perfect example. Sankhya Puravakanamagana Natabi Kalava Sannikrito Nidra Ahara Ahara Vida Nidra Ahara Ahara Vijato Yat Chantadinochiyo. They were Vijato. They were victorious over Ahara and Nidra. Eating Ahara and sleeping. How were they victorious? Because they were swimming. They were just swimming along. Swimming, having a good time, floating on their back. But they were swimming in a very special ocean. And that ocean has been brought, Kripambudir, that ocean of mercy has been brought by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, please, by my mercy you can see the ocean. By my mercy you can enter the ocean. By my mercy you can drink the ocean. And by my mercy you can taste the ocean. This is the purpose of life. So the Goswamis are swimming in that ocean. What is that ocean? Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritabdi. Same word, Abdi. Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritabdi Lahari Kalola Magno Mohur. They were swimming and diving in the waves of that ocean like a makara. You know makara? Like a dolphin or a porpoise. They're just swimming in that ocean. Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritabdi Lahari. Gopi Bhava Rasa Abdi Lahari. They're just swimming in the waves of Gopi Bhava Ras. And because they're tasting that pure love of the Brijbasis, that pure love and that pure mood, what is Gopi Bhava Ras? That is the mood of Srimati Radharani's surrender, which we mentioned already. That mood of everything for Krishna and nothing for me. That is Gopi Bhava Ras. And if you taste that rasa, if you actually taste that rasa of bhakti, then automatically one chickpea a day, 3 hours a day rest, automatically that comes. And that is their example. Das Goswami was sleeping 2 hours a day. When Radha and Krishna enter Nikunj and Nisha Leela, and they take some rest after they dance in Ras Leela, and they play in Yamuna and some Ban Bihar, and they take some fruits, and they're a little tired, so they rest for 2 hours. And while they're resting, then the Sakis and Mandris also rest. So while those 2 hours Radha and Krishna are resting, Das Goswami is resting. What time is that? That's from about 1:30 in the evening, 1:40 in the morning, you can say, 1:40 a.m., until about 3 a.m. 1:30 to 3:30. That's why you see in Vrindavan or anywhere where there are Gaudiya sadhus, they all get up at 3 a.m. They get up by 3 a.m., finish their bath, so by 20 after 3, 3:30, they're ready for service. This is for the Paramahamsas, the Babajis. Because they're meditating, because they have to be up and ready for service, because Radha and Krishna start waking up about 3:30, quarter to 4, 4 o'clock. So Das Goswami, that's why he was sleeping 2 hours a day, not because he's thinking, oh, hey Rupa, look at me, hey Sanatan, 2 hours a day, I'm a very austere, I'm a big yogi, Maha Mandaleshvara, 1008, yogi, Yogiraj. That is not his idea. He was simply, it's an hour and a half has gone by. It's time to get up and do my service. I have to do my service. And he gets and he bathes and he starts doing his meditation and his smaran. Picking flowers, making garlands, preparing tambul, so many things he has to do. So this, he's just in his, tasting his gopi bhava rasaratam latati lahari. So he has no time for sleeping and eating. So this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to taste bhakti and automatically you get pramjasvani vartate. You get the higher taste, you become fixed in consciousness and detached from this body. Krishna conscious movement is the movement of vairagya. Everyone in this room, everyone in this movement is meant to be a vairagi bhava. A vairagi grihasta, a vairagi lady, a vairagi man. It's not that, oh, that's for the sannyasis. No, everyone must. If there's no vairagya, there's no bhakti. They're essential. They go hand in hand. If there's bhakti, there's vairagya. If there's vairagya in devotional service, then there's bhakti. Of course, yogis have vairagya and they don't have bhakti. But if you're a devotee and you have vairagya, that's because you have bhakti. They must go together. So this is such a beautiful verse, famous verse. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam eka purusha purana. Purusha purana, that oldest person, purusha purana, that old person, the Adi Purusha, Krishna. He came 5,000 years ago and taught vairagya. Parityaja, Sarvadharman Parityaja. And then that same oldest person, that's what Sarvabhauma is realizing, that this Lord Chaitanya is that same person, that same Purani. Purani Thakur, that Adi Thakur. That Purusha Purana, that eternal, oldest of oldest person has come again as Lord Chaitanya to teach the same message. Vairagya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So let us take up this message on this day of Vishwarupa's sannyas ceremony and Srila Prabhupada's sannyas ceremony and try to increase our devotion and also become conscious of the principle that we must become detached from this world. This is the sign of advancement in bhakti. We're becoming more and more detached. We don't care for newspapers, we don't care for radio, we don't care for TV, mundane talks. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar. This is the behavior of the Vaishnava. You give up the asat. Anything that is asat, anything that is temporary, because the definition of vairagya, as Prabhupada gave here, what is the definition of vairagya? Did you hear very clearly what the definition of vairagya is? Detachment from everything that does not help develop Krishna consciousness. That's vairagya. Not eating one chickpea or sleeping 1 hour. Detachment from everything that does not help you to develop Krishna consciousness. Movies don't help you develop Krishna consciousness. Newspapers don't help you develop Krishna consciousness. Mundane friends, gramya katha, it doesn't help you develop Krishna consciousness. In fact, it ruins your Krishna consciousness. So this is vairagya, to give these things up. This is the real behavior. But we're like the wedding party. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, the reason we're not why are we not advancing in Krishna consciousness? Because we're holding on. We're holding on to our material desires. We won't let them go. We're holding, this is mine. Hey, like a little kid. Little kid has some toy and you go to take the toy from the kid. He holds it on like, he holds on to it so tight like it's his very life. Hey, get your own. It's mine. So we're holding on to our material desires like that. My body, my family, my nation, my job, my position, my fame, my money. It's all mine. We're holding very tightly. But this must be cut. This is the meaning of bhakti, that this has to cut. We have to cut these things. So Prabhupada came to teach us that, to teach us how to be detached. So this story is there about this holding on to our attachments. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is why we're not advancing, because we're holding on to our material desires. And Krishna shows us time after time. See, here it is again. Remember? This is the witch. This is the pishacha, the witch of material desire. You're still attached to this thing. You've been a devotee. Krishna will show you. Here you go, Sambhadas. Remember? Your old friend. Whatever your particular maya is. Everybody has their particular maya. And so Krishna knows very well. He's a shikshartam. Shikshartam in this verse. He's a shiksha guru. He says Shiksha Guru is the Antaryami, or whether he comes outside is Lord Chaitanya. The same Shiksha Guru is always teaching us. Look here, Krishna Das. Look here, Varaha. See, this is your attachment. It's from last life. You still have it. It's still with you. You're still attached to it. Are you going to hold on to it? Yes, that's mine. Give me that. Yeah. I like that. This is mine. I like this attachment. I'll keep it for another life. I'll hold on to it for one more life, thank you. And another life, and another life, and another life. So Krishna is showing it. So it's like the story, the nice story they tell about the wedding party. It's a great story. So the wedding party, everybody went down to the river and they piled into the boat. And then they paid the guy, said, quickly, tomorrow morning at sunrise, you have to get up the river 40 kilometers up this, upstream to the other village to marry my fiance. So start rowing. So they're pushing with the poles and they're pushing, five men are pushing and rowing. So all the men's party, they went to sleep inside the boat peacefully. In a few hours, by sunrise, we'll be in the next village, and I'll get on the horse, and it'll be a big band, a big, you know, Yamaha thing, and we'll go down the Yamaha electric piano and big noise, and we'll have a big wedding, and I'll marry my dreamboat. So they're sleeping very soundly. Then the sun comes up the next day, and they look out of the boat, expecting to see the village upstream. Hey, wait a minute. We haven't gone anywhere. This is our own village. We haven't moved an inch. Hey, where are you guys? And they get the boatmen. They say, what have you guys been doing? You're sleeping all night? No, look, our shirts are soaking wet. You know, we've been sweating all night. We're bowing and we're rowing and trying like anything. Aren't we there? Say, you stupid. We didn't go anywhere. The boatman says, well, I don't know. I did my job. See, you jerk. You didn't take up the anchor. You didn't pull up the anchor. You've been tied to the side and you just wasted your time and wasted our time, and now the auspicious tithi is gone and the marriage is finished. So the same thing. This analogy is used by Prabhupada, that we're trying so hard in Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna, this, that. But we don't pull up the anchor. What is the anchor? Material desire. We keep that anchor fixed firmly in the shore of material desire, family, friends, position, body, enjoyment, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, all these attachments. Bachovegam, manasakrotavegam, jivavedam, udrapastavegam. These vegas, these pushings must be cut, they must be dropped, they must be severed. This is bhakti. This is devotee. And if they're not, you can work so hard and do so many things, and at the end of your life, again another birth, because you didn't pull up that anchor of that material desire. And every individual devotee has his own anchor. You have your anchor, you have your anchor, you have your anchor. Everyone has their own anchor. You know anchor? You know, when you throw on the side and holds the boat, I don't know what you call it in Hindi, the anchor. Like the rope, you know, everyone has their own rope that's tying us. So that has to be cut. That's sadhu. Sadhu means cut. He cuts that rope. The anchor is connected by a rope. And then the rope goes to the boat. The boat is the body. The human body is a boat. And then the rope is our desire. And the desire is, can say manifested or expanded in the form of the anchor. All the desires together in the anchor. So we have to cut that connection. We have to cut our connection, our attachment to those desires, and become attached to Krishna. This is bhakti yoga. Avrakya vidya nija bhakti yogam. This bhakti, this nija bhakti yogam, his own bhakti. Krishna has come to give his own bhakti. That bhakti is Radha bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give Radha bhakti. The pure love and the pure mood of serving Krishna that Radharani has. He came to taste it, to experience it, and to distribute it. And that is by experiencing that nija bhakti, that Radha bhakti, that pure love, that pure mood of service and surrender that Radharani has for Krishna, then easily you can cut the anchor of material desire. Easily you can sever your attachment to this material body and progress happily and peacefully on the path back home, back to Godhead. Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Should we make a special effort to cut the anchor, or should we... We should increase our devotion, but as we're performing devotional service, that anchor, that material desire, that attachment will come before us. And Krishna will say, well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to keep performing devotional service, but I'm going to go around that one. I'll keep it there, but I'll go around it. I'll keep with it, but I'll go around it. No, you have to deal with it. So there is actually but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's constant practice and detachment. So we have to practice. When those material desires come up, we have to say no to Maya. Maya means those material desires, so we have to have the strength and determination to say no to Maya. So that is the practice of Vairagya. But our positive field of activity is to simply serve Krishna and Guru. Guru Seva, Krishna Seva. So by this positive, we accent and increase the positive of serving Krishna, and automatically the negativity becomes eliminated. But when those material desires are presented to us, we must face them. Each devotee must face his own Maya. And by surrendering to Guru and surrendering to Krishna, you get the strength to conquer Maya. Krishna is the controller of Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He's controlling Maya. So we surrender to Krishna, then he'll remove those desires. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana. Krishna is our best friend, and he's nearest and dearest to us. The question is, should devotees be trained for Vairagya or Yukta Vairagya? We are being trained for Vairagya through the means of Yukta Vairagya. In other words, but the thing is, the word Vairagya has not been lost. It's not just, the word Vairagya is still there. So that's why there is laws of Vairagya for the Grihasthas, and laws of Vairagya for the Sannyasis, and laws of Vairagya for the Brahmacharis. So we engage what we have in Krishna's service, but still there are laws there. There are laws. There are 8 laws of Brahmacharya. There are 8 laws for a Brahmacharya, and those 8 laws are the laws of Vairagya. So we don't say, I'm serving Krishna now, it doesn't apply to me. What are the 8 laws of Vairagya for a Brahmachari? You must know. You can tell me? Who can tell me the 8 laws of Vairagya for a Brahmachari? If you're a Grihastha, you can also tell. A Brahmachari should not look at a woman. What does that mean? Go around like this? I don't see any women. Oh, excuse me, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am, I didn't mean to bump into you. No, it means you do not look at a woman with lust in your eye. Jesus said in the Bible, if you look at woman with lust in the eye, that is the same as if you enjoyed with her and laid down with her. That is a sin. In the Christian tradition, see how much Vairagya they have, or at least in their Shastras. In their Shastras, if a man looks at a woman with a desire to enjoy, hey, she's really nice. Oh, shouldn't. I'm a devotee. I'm a Hare Krishna. No, that, would you look with that desire, you've fallen. You've committed sin, according to Christian tradition. That's how strict Jesus' teachings is. But the Brahmacharya should not look at a woman with a desire to enjoy. He should not talk with a woman intimately. He should not meet with a woman in a private place. He should not dream of woman. He should not think of woman. There's 8 different things. It's Yajnavalkya. I think it's Yajnavalkya Samhita. In the laws of Yajnavalkya, there's Yajnavalkya. There's 8 laws of Vairagya that every Brahmacharya, there's mentioned in one place in Prabhupada's books, in maybe 4th canto purport, something. Remember, it's mentioned. At any rate, the Brahmacharya should live by these rules and guide by these rules. Should not look, in other words, Brahmacharya means that no contact with women, practically none. And sannyasi, no contact with women, practically none. Only vanaprastha and grihastha, they have some contact with women, means their wife. A learned man, Chanaka Pandit says, a learned man, an intelligent man, if you consider, yes, I'm very intelligent, I'm a modern man, I'm educated, I have so many degrees. What are the 3 symptoms of an intelligent man, a so-called educated, civilized man? There's 3 qualities he has, which you'll never find now in Kali Yuga, because everyone's a fool. Everyone in Kali Yuga is fool number 1, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everyone in Kali Yuga has the qualities of a Sudra. But at least 500 and 1,000 years ago, there was a definition of what is an intelligent, educated, civilized man. It doesn't mean he drives a silo. He drives a silo, has a Titan watch and a 10,000 rupee suit. That is not civilized man. Civilized, intelligent man is this. He sees every woman as Mataji. Not Bainji. Hey, Bainji! Hey, sister! Nowadays, is it Bainji or something? They say, hey, sister, hey, Bainji. He sees every woman as Mataji, as mother, except one, his wife. And he sees anybody's property is lying somewhere, anybody's watch, or they left their watch, or it is just stool in the street. It is not mine, has nothing to do with me. Someone's wallet, someone's money, it's not mine. And the third thing is, he empathizes with the sufferings of others. He sees the suffering of other living entities. of cows, of animals, of birds, of human beings. He feels their suffering to be his own suffering. These are the three qualities of an educated, learned, and civilized man. Where do you find these qualities in Kali Yuga? As soon as a man sees, hey, somebody dropped their wallet. There's a lot of money in there. They catch the wallet, and they're driving down the road, they see a cow bleeding, hit by a car. They don't, oh, so what? It's not me. Cow is lying on the side of the street, hit by a car, no one cares. No karuna, no compassion. And then every woman, hey, look at that one. No, Mataji, forget it. This is everyone in Kali Yuga, every Indian, every American, every French, German, they're all like this. So they're all fools. They're not civilized, uncivilized, uneducated. But we are not supposed to be like that. So we must practice being detached by following the laws of Vairagya, at the same time engaging in Krishna's service. But there are there's laws for Grihasthas, when they can come together. Even if we have very strict laws as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, when husbands and wives can come together. But if they're not going to follow those laws of detachment, or those laws of Vairagya, then they must follow the laws of Manusamhita. Manusamhita also gives laws of Vairagya for Grihasthas. If you don't follow those laws, then next life you'll have four legs. And you don't have to follow any laws. Four legs. You know four legs? Kukut. You know kukut? Dog. So every ashram, there's laws of detachment and Vairagya for everyone. So there's Vairagya. You have to cultivate Vairagya. You have to follow the laws and be strict. And at the same time you serve Krishna, which also incorporates the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Everyone has to become aware of their own rules and regulations for each ashram. Yama niyama. The yama niyama varies according to the ashram. Srila Prabhupada ki.